Gentlemen, we are learning Simon Tov Kuf Chalef. This is a fantastic, fascinating Chiddush over here. And then we're going to be learning Simon Tov Kuf Chalef based on Mitzshem. Okay. So Simon Tov Kuf Chalef tells us really, Din Shel Shul Peiros Biyom Tov Mokem Lemokem, which is Mashilin Peiros, that's Sif Aleph. Mashilin Peiros Derech Haruba. So the, what it means that if you want to put Peiros, fruit, derech haruba through the skylight. Perush, ki yishal zeisecho, klema, pilina perush la'oretz. If you have got a very convenient storage area for your fruit, which is on your roof, and you happen to have a skylight, imagine that that's sukkah kind of opening, sukkah roof, skylight, and that's the way you normally put the fruit through. So you've got the fruit on the roof, probably to dry, and let them down through the skylight. That's called mashilin perush. You're allowed to do that on Yom Tov. However, you may not be mashil it. Don't let it down. Don't, what's the right word? To let it down, to descend it? No.
Lower it.
To lower it? Okay.
What are you trying to do?
You're really trying to lower, that's really what it is, the fruits down into your dining room. From the skylight, it's a bit of an enterprise. If you're going to do it properly, this is before the days of the Amazon drones, kind of. So you've got to do it in a more old fashioned kind of way. So you're allowed to put it down on Yom Tov.
Is percolate the right word?
Percolate.
Percolate. That's how the coffee. Is that the right word? Percolate. Is that the sort of coffee there?
No, percolate? No. Okay, it's not percolate, but it is to mashil. For shalem bechaloinois, not through the windows, please. Don't take your ladder out and then schlep up and schlep down through the ladder. No, that's no good. And do not schlep them from roof to roof, even if it's equal height, third floor. Don't go from one roof to the other roof and eventually go down. You may not do that. So the point, what is the point over here? What is the point that we're learning? The point is, the Mishnah explains if cotton aleph, mashilin, perush, meaning, sheyesh loy peris alagag, you have got fruit on the roof, vero'o, and he sees, kishomim, memash mashin uvoim, we see that the rain is about to come. So, you know, you must be living in England. The rain is coming. Uvoin, ve'efsa sheyovali dehefset. And it may likely be, if all this fruit, these figs, these dates, these everything, is going to get sopping and it's going to get ruined. So now, he wants to take it into the dried area. Heitiru loy chachomim litoach b'yom tov. Chachomim allowed him. This is the ticha. Oh, yes, it's a schlep. To take all the fruits down to your dining room. It's a schlep. So now this is a tircha. Normally a tircha on Yom Tov is also, of course, you have to schlep around things on Yom Tov. Through the skylight, you can't do that. Through a rope, or to let it down, to descend them, to lower them. You normally, it's too much of a schlep. But since this is not so bad, this one over here, directly through the skylight down, it's not so bad. So they allowed it with Mamona because of financial loss, which would occur if you would keep it on the roof, therefore they allowed it. But if there wouldn't be no financial loss, you mustn't do that. Now the other options, which are also through the window, through the next door neighbor, through the ladder, these remain also because that's a substantial tircha. An substantial tircha remains also. Now, I want to point out. Let's do Sif Beis first. I want to point out here something. If you have got, but let's say you can't, you know, you've got an alternative option. Okay, the point is, it's going to rain. You don't need to get ruined, so you can take it down. But what if you've got an alternative? You've got a long, big shmata, a long, big sheet, which you could just put on top of the peiros. Can you do that? Yeah, you can. Mutar lechasos peiros, oikid yain, oilevenim, ne'adelef. You may cover the fruit or the wine barrels or the bricks, whatever you have on your roof, which you want to keep from rain. you can cover them up. Okay. Liten klim tachas atelef, tino b'shabas kach tino b'yomtev. Okay, if you have got water flowing into your dining room, you want to put a container there to collect all the rainwater, and it's fine. You know, reminds me, just very briefly, reminds me of Avi Yashiv had, I think, how many children did Avi Yashiv have? Does anybody remember? Avi Yashiv? Was it 12 children? 11 children? Avi Yashiv? Mainly daughters. It's interesting, by the way, the names that he gave to his daughters are very interesting. But anyway, so he had quite a lot of children. And he lived in, you know, in the, where Avi Yashiv lived, in Yerushalayim, in which is next to the Mir, yeah? It's a two-bedroom flat. So that's one thing, but the description which I read once, that one of his relationship's daughters describes, that she'll never forget the picture that it was pelting outside in Yerushalayim, and it was therefore also raining inside the flat. And here there was 10 or 11 children. Avilashi was learning in the dining room, because it's the only place he could learn, and everybody was, you know, had to be quiet when Avilashi was learning. And it was literally like raining in, gushing in, and they were waiting for Avi Yashiv to, you know, take notice and like tell them what to do or something. And they were waiting quietly. It was nobody dared disturbing Avi Yashiv learning, and they'd wait until, you know, he's going to say, you know, do this or do that, you know. But he simply was completely unaware of it, completely unaware that it was raining in the dining room of a two-bedroom flat with, you know, a big family. That was that Ashley's learning. Simply did not, that's learning in the way it should be, you know, completely disassociated, disconnected from this world. So that's it. Imagine that, a two-bedroom flat, 10, 11 children in the most humble situation, and here there's water coming, flowing in, gushing in, and not noticing it. Okay, so this is the halacha over here, though, that the point over here, the main concept of this Shulchan Aruch is, there's an issa of tircha. Okay, you don't have to schlep around items on Yom Tov. There's an issa tircha on Yom Tov. An issa tircha on Yom Tov. An issa tircha on Yom Tov. However, therefore you're not allowed to schlep around the barrels of wine and the food and the fruits, anything. You're not allowed to schlep it down in a complicated manner, the more sophisticated ways. However, just literally lowering it down the skylight, you're allowed to do that, provided there's a hefset. If you'd keep the fruit on the roof, it would get wet from the rain, would get spoiled and ruined. Then Chacham, we're allowing you to tircha. Never mind the tircha, it's okay, it's only a little bit of a tircha, it's just through the skylight, it's not a big deal. That they're allowed because of hefset. Okay, if it's not raining, you mustn't lower down the fruit down the skylight. I want to just mention something, because the post came out they bring over here fantastic proof. The Maharsham speaks about it. I remember I heard this from Dain Lopian. So this is very choshev to me. I remember this raya, I heard it from Dain Lopian, I believe the Maharsham says, I believe Shlomo Zalman speaks about it, but this is very choshev to me, it's very precious, because I remember clearly how Dain Lopian explained this to me, from this very Shulchan Aruch. You know, there's a halacha on Yom Tov of Hachana. Hachana, Issa Hachana. What's the Issa Hachana? You're not allowed to prepare. You're not allowed to prepare things. You're not allowed to prepare things. You're not to prepare things from one day to the next. Now, it's an issa achona. Now, very often people get you know, if a case, for instance, which is very, what happens if you've got, let's say, washing which is hanging outside. If anybody still, you know, hanging up the washing outside instead of using a dry, and you see that, let's see about Muktzah Shailas, okay? Let's say it was completely dry before Shabbos, before Yom Tov, whatever it was. Now, I want to take down and I see it's going to start raining soon. Would I, in theory, be allowed to take the washing in? No, why not? Because there's an element of Ma'aseh Ayin. Absolutely, there's definitely an element of Ma'aseh Ayin. What else as well? It's true, there is Ma'aseh Ayin in it, yeah. Yeah, a weekday activity, and also there's an element of hachana, you know, because it might be that it's only going to end up raining on after Shabbos, and what you're really trying to do is you're trying to save the work from Motzei Shabbos, you're doing it on Shabbos, and therefore it will be a problem of hachana. Pardon? It might rain on Shabbos. Yeah, so let's talk about a scenario that it's probably going to rain, you know, as Shabbos, you know, like that kind of thing. So there would be an Esachon, and very often we find these kind of things that you're trying to do an action now because you're going to save yourself later. So there is a rule which the Poskim say that if you're trying to save time, then is an Esachon. However, if you're saving yourself a financial loss, that's not considered a chona. Whenever you'll be losing financial loss, I'll give you another example. If you've got an expensive wine, which is, you know, on the table. Now, I don't know much about wines at all, but you know, if you keep it out for a long time, it's gonna. But if you take it, you want to put it back in the fridge. You put it back in the fridge, you know, to keep it nice and cool. So it would be in the shadow of a chona, really, because you're not doing it for now, you're doing it for after Shabbos, really. Would that be a problem? Putting the bottle of wine back into the fridge. It's a chona, you're preparing. So the rule is, so in principle, it should be a chona. But what we're learning over here is a fantastic insight, very interesting insight, that whenever you are doing something which you are saving it from getting spoiled, that's not considered a chona. I'll tell you what the proof is. The proof is from here. Why are you allowed to lower down these fruits down into the skylight? Why are you allowed to do that? It's a chona. Should be a chona. You're preparing it for later. And the answer is, because if you are going to keep them on the roof, it's going to get spoiled. And letting something spoiled is not included in Issa Achona. That would be saving it from financial loss, and then Achona doesn't apply. Okay, just as a side note. Okay, so the clothes, if it would get, if there would be, so the point is, if it's the kind of item, what are you saying that what? That? Then it would take to remain, it would take to be also. But if it's something that, for some reason or another, it's something which would get spoiled then. Yeah, okay. Simon Tovkuf Chov Beis. Dvorim Asurim Metaltel B'Yom Tov. This is now moving on to another topic. Let's get this. This is a single contained Isurim over here. Ein Asume Yoytze B'Makloi V'Lo Yorele B'Tamiloi. So that a blind person is not allowed to walk around with his maklo, with his stick. And similarly also a shepherd is not allowed to go with tarmilo, which is back like a rucksack. That's what shepherds tend to do. So again, the sum of the blind person is not allowed to go with his blind man's stick, and the shepherd is not allowed to go with his backpack. For din chige, dinik kumay b'yom tov, kumay b'shabbos, and similarly when a chige, somebody is unable to walk the halacha the same than on Shabbos. Now, to clarify, this halacha over here, why a blind person is not allowed to go around with his stick, is not because of oitzah, nothing to do with carrying. It's a different issa. And the issa is a completely different issa. What is the issa? The issa is zilusa yom tov. It's not yom tov dik. There is an aspect of not being, it's not respect, it's not, how should we say it, it's not, let's see what happens if he really needs it. Let's see. The Mishnah Berurah goes into that. So Sifkot Na'alef, Ein Asuma, blind person, but in Zokin, it doesn't have to be a blind person. Zemalach will apply with regards to an elderly gentleman as well, who normally walks around with a stick. Yoitze b'makloi, Haino Shusin Rabim, Oile Kamelis. We're talking about whether it is a public domain or a Kamelis. Mipnei Shu Derech Choyl. It is a weekday activity. Vel Zilzul Yom Tov, and it's disrespectful to Yom Tov. Since he is able to walk without the stick, the only reason why he's taking it, to fix, to straighten up certain of his steps, therefore it's only considered a, it helps him. It improves his walking. But he can walk without it. Therefore, it's not respectful for Yom Tov. Umashikosav lo yirei b'tam miloi, and also the shepherd. Hanukam kano shusirabim. It's also shusirabim kamelis. Which means zilus the Yom Tov, disrespectful. So Rabbi Isai, we're not referring to somebody that is unable to walk without a stick.
Rabbi, this is wrong.
Yeah, one second. I'll be with you. I'll be with you in a minute. I want to know why I'm wrong. But one second. Why is this? You're saying a blind person. So there is distances or areas where a blind person is very familiar with, and therefore he'll be able to get there without his stick. Or for just added security, for instance, if somebody's taking him, supporting him, helping him, so he might want a stick to feel more comfortable and more secure, but he may reach there in... It is talking about a case that is able without it, because you're right, if he's unable to walk... You mean that there is maybe perhaps some vision? Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, so, well, I'm saying it's, the Mishnah says explicitly, it's liyasher psioisav, to make his steps more straight, more elegant, more secure, but he's not in danger without it.
That's got to be right, he is in danger without it. He needs, the stick is an aid to him. If he doesn't have the stick, he puts himself in a Sakana situation. And what about then, if he's got a guide dog?
I can tell you one thing. I remember, I had years ago in Mir, in Gateshead, do you remember? We had, there was a Bacher in Yeshiva who was blind. Do you remember that? Completely blind. And I remember that, the reason why I remember this, he was a very choshev bacher from a very, very prominent family, and he was completely blind. Similar. There's a boy in Stamford Hill which I was supporting. Similar kind of stuff. It's unbelievable how well developed their other senses are, much more developed than ours. And therefore, if they're slightly familiar with an area, they do manage without sticks. They do, if they're very familiar, they feel it, they sense the areas without it. The person I'm referring to now, who is a bocher, whom I've lately got to know in Stamford Hill, is a blind bocher, he's able to learn Gemara, go to a shir, and participate in completely normal life.
Braille
indeed, yes. It costs a fortune to translate the Gemara in Braille, but it can be done. So it can be done. So I'm just saying that other senses are far more developed. And therefore, I would argue that it's not necessarily a sakana to walk around without a stick. And that is what Shulchan Aruch is referring to. Yeah.
What about a guide dog?
What about them?
Well, can he go with on Shabbos or Yom Tov with a guide dog?
Where to?
Well, to Shul, for example.
To Shul, it's an interesting Moshe Feinstein speaks about it. Moshe speaks about the dog in the Shul. I'll tell you, if there's a dog in shul, I don't know if I'm going to go to shul.
It depends whether the dog's interested in private prayer or not.
Yeah, that's true as well. So I would argue that a dog in shul, I would argue actually, Stephen, what do you think? Will he need to go all the way into shul?
No, let's say the dog could then remain outside with somebody, or a non-Jewish person, but he walks the blind person to the shul, and then somebody in the shul will assist him, and the dog could stay outside.
Yeah, so Moshe Mamash speaks about this. It's Shuvan Moshe Feinstein who addresses that very question about the dog, the blind dog, to go to shul. And it's interesting, fascinating Shuvan that Moshe discusses. Would you say that it's comparable to the blind person's stick? Would you say it's different? What would you say? Is it Zilzul Tiyontov?
I think it's the same. I mean, the blind person's stick, if the blind person hasn't got anybody, he can use the stick to walk to shul, and then somebody in the shul will assist him, same like the dog. So you could leave the stick with somebody else, and somebody in the shul would help him. So,
right. I don't know if it's identical, but with regards to the stick, we've got a Shulchan Aruch that teaches us that if he's able to walk and manage somehow without a stick, he must not use his stick. However, if it's a case that he's unable to walk at all and unable to get to destination, he can only do that with a stick, then he would be allowed to use the stick. And that's whether he's an old man or a blind person, the same halachas will apply. However, if he's managing without it, he may not use the stick. So I would say, I would really say, if this is the person that is being accompanied and supported by somebody, than somebody helping, but and he just would, they would add the added security by having a stick. Then lichoire would appear from Shulchan Aruch. It would be also to it would be also to use a stick. Correct. As I said before, this is not about carrying. It is not. It's the lucid yomtiv.
So what about somebody?
Correct. Yeah. So even if there's an ale.
Yeah. What about if somebody has to go to shul in a wheelchair? Either he can wheel himself.
Very good.
Somebody pushes him.
Okay. The answer to the wheelchair. Very good, Stephen. Spot on. The answer to the wheelchair is Seifes, which we will be learning with Shem tomorrow evening. Oh. So, Steve, make sure to come tomorrow evening. It's Seifes. We'll discuss it tomorrow. Yeah. So.
I'll be there.
Okay. Very good. Okay. So to summarize what we learned this evening, we learned about the skylight shaila. There's a tircha. There's a tircha element. Schlepping fruits and food down the skylight is an issue. You may not do that. It's a tircha. It's over to the choil. It's a schlep. Don't schlep on Yom Tov. Schlep before Yom Tov. By all means, schlep after Yom Tov. But don't schlep around things on Yom Tov. So therefore, things any from one roof to the other, from one place to the other, it's not. The only exception is if it's going to rain and you know it's going to get spoiled. You're going to lose a large amount of money by keeping it there. You're allowed to let it through the middle skylight, which is the most easy, straightforward way to let it down. And gently, that's permitted if there's a financial loss involved. We also learned you'll have to cover up all the items. It's not considered a, it's not considered a problem. Good question. So we said that the Master Mashal doesn't like it. Mishnah doesn't recommend it. It's called, but it's not. It's for that. Yeah. So it's in the, so you're asking why is the football mutter? Why this is also? Well, what's the? Why is it not Simchas Yom Tov element for him? He gives him that security, that's emotional security and well-being. Why does he not permit it? It's a good child. It's something to think about. It's an interesting question. Why does that added security and emotional confidence, why does that not Simchas Yom Tov element? Really good question. Yeah, it's a good question. I really like your question. I really value the question. It's a good question.
It's probably different nowadays anyway, because now, if he wants to cross the road, he has to have a stick. I mean, how would a... He's waiting to cross the road. He has to have a stick to at least cars or so. Or no. I mean, in those days...
I hear also the floor wasn't as even as here. Yeah, I hear the shaila. I hear. It's a really interesting question. Yeah, it's an interesting question. It's an interesting question. Fine, so we learned about the blind person who is allowed to go around with a stick if he needs it. Similarly, also the shepherd with his bag if he needs it, but if it's not complete necessity, it would be awesome. That's what we covered this evening. More on these halachas tomorrow. I wish you a very good evening.